Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book, available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Must we qualify to receive a gift? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We wrap up our series looking at some of the messages that were given in the October 2019 General Conference in Salt Lake City. And as we mentioned, there was this theme, if you will, that ran through many of the talks. In each session of General Conference in October of 2019, there was a call to keep covenants. And today we want to finish up with a talk that was given by Henry B. Eyring, the second counselor in the First Presidency. His message was titled Holiness and the Plan of Happiness, the subtitle being Greater Happiness Comes from Greater Personal Holiness. What did he say in this talk, Eric?
He says, only by faith in Jesus Christ, continuing repentance, and keeping covenants are we able to claim the lasting happiness we all yearn to experience and retain. My prayer for today is that I may help you understand the greater happiness comes from greater personal holiness so that you will act upon that belief. I will then share what I know for myself about what we can do to qualify for that gift of becoming ever more holy.
Well, let me stop you there, because there's that expression that I was mentioning earlier, qualifying for a gift. So here is another example of a word that I think we as evangelicals need to politely stop them and have them define for us, because we certainly do believe in the gift of salvation, but we look at it as something that's given freely without any effort on our part in order to receive it. In other words, we do not believe that this gift of salvation is a result of anything that we can possibly do. No work on our part is required in order to receive this gift. But listen carefully to what Eyring is saying. He says we have to qualify for that gift of becoming ever more holy. But he's not going to stop there. He's going to use that expression again in the next paragraph.
The scriptures teach us that, among other things, we can be sanctified or become more holy when we exercise faith in Christ, demonstrate our obedience, repent, sacrifice for Him, receive sacred ordinances, and keep our covenants with Him. Qualifying for the gift of holiness requires humility, meekness, and patience.
Now notice again, qualifying for the gift of holiness requires, well, if you have to put the word require after the word gift, it seems like you've nullified what the word gift normally means to most people. But in the context of Mormonism, even a gift has to be earned, and here's an example of that.
When you do a job for your boss, when you work the work week and you get your paycheck, you don't say, here's a gift, it's a wage. And the Bible, in the book of Romans, Paul's very clear that salvation is not something that we earned. It's not a wage, but rather it's a gift. And when we understand that, then this doesn't make any sense at all, that you have to do all these things by demonstrating obedience, repenting, keeping covenants. That is all necessary, though, in Mormonism in order to get the quote-unquote gift.
There's no denying this when you think about it, Eric, because Russell M. Nelson, in an article that was titled Prepare for the Blessings of the Temple, and this is found in a special issue of the Ensign magazine, came out in October 2010, dealing with temples. On page 42, you can see where Russell M. Nelson, the 17th president of the church, said, obedience to the sacred covenants made in temples qualifies us for eternal life, the greatest gift of God to man. Again, there's that word, gift. But in order to get the gift, you must qualify. How do you qualify? You have to obey the sacred covenants that you make in the temple, not only in the temple, but the covenant you made when you were baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as well as the covenants you make every week during the sacrament service or the communion service. It's all about making these promises, these covenants, which in essence are works that you are supposed to do if you hope to receive the alleged gift.
I think what you're saying is exemplified in the following paragraphs on page 101 of the Ensign magazine. One experience, he writes, of wanting more holiness came for me in the Salt Lake Temple. I entered the temple for the first time, having been told little of what to expect. I had seen the words on the building, Holiness to the Lord and the House of the Lord. I felt a great sense of anticipation, yet I wondered if I was prepared to enter. My mother and father walked ahead of me as we entered the temple. We were asked to show our recommends, certifying our worthiness.
Now, we should explain a recommend is a little card, an ID card that you receive after you've answered the questions in an interview properly by your ecclesiastical leaders. What they ask you are certain things, wanting to know if you, in fact, are doing what you're supposed to do in order to enter the temple. Now, in this area alone, folks, we have quite the opposite of what we understand in the Bible when it comes to entrance into the temple. People entered the temple in Jerusalem knowing they were, in essence, unworthy. They were unworthy. Mormons go to their temple only if they are worthy. But this can also give what I call a very false sense of security, because many people look at their recommends as, well, if I've qualified for my recommend, maybe I'm also qualified for the celestial kingdom. Now, you would think that they would put the two together. That's not always the case, however. Many times when we talk to temple-worthy members and we ask them, well, if you were to die right now, do you have the assurance that all your sins are forgiven and that you would, quote-unquote, qualify for the celestial kingdom? The answer, more oftentimes than not, is either no, or maybe, or I hope so, or I'm trying my best. Not really demonstrating a lot of assurance on the part of that individual, is it?
No, and 1 John 5:13 says that we can know that we have eternal life. It's not based on a wish or a feeling. It's based on knowledge and seeing what God's word has to say. And in Mormonism, that's not offered. It's never known if you're going to reach the celestial kingdom unless you keep the covenants that you make. And if nobody's keeping those covenants, then you cannot know that you have that assurance. And that's what the Latter-day Saint does not have, Christian. For those of you who are listening, understand and be patient, because they really are trying their hardest, but that's not the way that you're going to earn favor with God.
Let's go on to another statement that Mr. Eyring makes in this talk. He said, some listening today may be wondering, why do I not feel the peace and happiness promised to those who have been faithful? I have been faithful through terrible adversity, but I don't feel happiness. This is exactly what law does to you. If you don't live up to every one of the things you're supposed to live up to, you are not going to feel this happiness that they're describing here. My response would be, why do I not feel the peace and happiness promised to those who have been faithful? Well, it's because technically, you really haven't been faithful. Now, this individual, it goes on to say, may think in their heart, well, I've been faithful through terrible adversity, but I don't feel happiness. But have you been faithful in every area of your life? That's what's required according to Mormonism. And it's interesting that he brings this subject up, because Henry B. Eyring, in a conference message he gave back in 2014 in the April General Conference, a talk called A Priceless Heritage of Hope, said this about keeping the proper ordinances.
He said, the greatest of all the blessings of God, eternal life, will come to us only as we make covenants offered in the true church of Jesus Christ by his authorized servants.
And let me stop you there, Eric, because even though he says, as we make covenants, you know what he means. It's also you have to make and keep the covenants, not just make them.
He goes on and says, because of the fall, we all need the cleansing effects of baptism and the laying on of hands to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These ordinances must be performed by those who possess the proper priesthood authority. Then, with the help of the light of Christ and the Holy Ghost, we can keep all the covenants we make with God, especially those offered in His temples. Only in that way, and with that help, can anyone claim his or her rightful inheritance as a child of God in a family forever. To some listening to me, that may seem a nearly hopeless dream.
Why would it feel like a nearly hopeless dream? Because when you look at this doctrine in its proper context, it becomes readily apparent that what the church is asking of their people is something that the people cannot deliver. Ask them. All you need do is ask them, and they will admit it to you. This is what's so sad about Mormonism and why we don't believe that the restored gospel of Mormonism is good news. Now, he goes on to try and give some comfort to those who are listening to this message when he cites Russell M. Nelson later on in his talk.
President Nelson went on to give us this encouragement in our efforts to become holier. Quote, "The Lord does not expect perfection from us at this point, but He does expect us to become increasingly pure. Daily repentance is the pathway to purity."
Now, earlier in this series, we were talking about how when we ask Latter-day Saints if they are keeping all the commandments and if they have repented of all their sins, usually the response is, well, nobody is perfect. They equate true repentance, confessing and forsaking their sins and keeping all of the commandments, with perfection. They do. And the reason we know this is because when we ask that question, are you doing what's required according to the covenants you make? They will often respond, well, nobody is perfect. We don't bring up that word. They bring up that word, which shows that they are equating the terms. Here's what's fascinating, and again, why it's so confusing when these leaders try to describe what's required for the membership. When Nelson said, "The Lord does not expect perfection from us at this point," wait a minute, all during this general conference, they were emphasizing the absolute necessity of keeping all of their covenants, not some of them, all of them. How confusing a statement like this must be. But when he says, "But he does expect us to become increasingly pure," daily repentance is the pathway to purity. I would argue, in the context of Mormonism, not having to repent shows that you're on the pathway to purity.
Or, in another way of saying it, by daily repenting, you're admitting that you're not doing what the Book of Mormon and the Doctrine and Covenants says you can do, that God has made possible for you to keep the covenants and commandments of God. Why don't you keep those covenants?
Let me finish with a quote by Mormon Apostle Bruce McConkie that I think puts everything into perspective. He said, "To the saints, his everlasting counsel is, obey, obey, obey. Keep the commandments, earn the attributes of godliness, and then, and only then, cometh salvation."
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.